If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm coming to you after Illinois loses to Purdue 76-71 in a game that was really one that was fairly paint by the numbers from an Illini standpoint, starting off with an 11-0 deficit, being down at the half 47-26, being outscored 18-3 in the last 4.5 minutes of the first half, getting down by as many as 24 at the start of the second half, and then storming back to a make the game, you know, down to a back and forth tilt, and ultimately losing it 76-71. The key thing that the Illini, you know, the people have seen is bad first half, too many times that the ball wasn't taken care of, resulting in turnovers, and ultimately, you know, missed free throws / missed 3-point shots are generally the doom of the Illini. It's getting close to the end of the season as the Big Ten tournament is up next. And the Illini will be looking to see if they can put together two excellent halves in the same game. And if they can do that twice in the Big Ten tournament, that bodes well, because when it comes 2 weeks from now and the Illini are in the NCAA tournament, they're going to have to play two good halves on either Thursday or Friday. And then they're going to have to follow that up, assuming they're successful, with another two good halves on Saturday or Sunday, if they would like to go to the Sweet 16. So we will have on Illini Guys Director of Recruiting, Kedrick Prince. We will also have on Illini Guys Uber Insider, Brad Sturdy. And of course, this is Illini Guy Mike Kegley. And we are going to stop for a commercial break before we start talking to the guys.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ked, welcome to the show. Folks, this is Kedrick Prince, the Illini Guys Director of Recruiting. And when you read stories about football or basketball recruits and what they're going to do, well, they tend to come from Ked, because Ked gets the phone calls. He doesn't have to chase after the recruits. They chase after him. Kedrick, painful game. You know, we had three things, I think, that we've seen in a lot of games. Let's talk about those first. Bad first half, lots of turnovers, and first half they couldn't make 3-point shots. Second half, they are not nearly as effective at hitting free throws. We'll start off with it. Ked, will we ever see this team play two good halves in a row?
Mike, I don't know if, to be honest with you, buddy, I don't know if there's time. You got the Big Ten tournament, You get one game. If you lose, you go home. In the tournament, you go home. So I guess we're going to find out. I mean, I can't believe what I saw. I was in awe. The way they started that, I'm speechless. I'm just very speechless knowing what's at stake. And then, you know what? I know the fans right now are livid and frustrated, and they should be. You watch them just come out and play like the Big Ten leader in Purdue playing against a fourth grade bitty YMCA program. And then you come back and tie the game. You're down, I think, was the biggest lead, 23, 25?
24.
And then you have a chance to win. I mean, the reason I feel bad for the fans is because this has been like a roller coaster season. You look at this team and how bad they played, how well they played. You've seen how well they could play. And then they come down, and then you just know the little things that they're going to do to lose a game. And it's hard because as frustrating as it was to watch, I was so pleased with the effort that they gave to get themselves back in the game. I will tell you this. I will challenge anybody. The effort that they gave against Zach Edey today to me was impressive. They did a very good job of stripping the ball from him, double-teaming him, and then rotating. Today, their defense his game plan was on point today. I was extremely impressed with that. You know, he didn't get to put up 39 points because we thought he was going to. And I don't care if people get mad at me or not. He was giving some gifts today. Kofi would have never got those calls. He holds the ball over his head, and Ty Rogers, he hit him on the elbow. I mean, I can't say he didn't. Didn't affect the play of the game. But you know what they tell right on? We don't know how to call fouls against him. We don't know how to officiate him. It's the same thing. Go to my Twitter feed that tweeted what you put out. You know, was Zach Edey shoved Matthew Meyer on the ground? The play of the game for me, and I know we haven't got to officiating, I put this on my Twitter feed about 2 months ago, asking if a foul at the beginning of the game is the same at the end. Tell me I'm wrong or I'm blind, losing my eyesight at 99 years old, Mike, that when Terrence Shannon's going to the basket, the reason he lost the ball is because of the Purdue defender grabbed his hand. The play-by-play guy even called it and knew it. That stuff matters because guess what? Terrence Shannon is a 78% free throw shooter. You're down 2 points, he ties the game up. But instead, they swallow their whistle. Tired of it. Can't stand it. I don't want the season to be over with, but I care not to see those guys anymore. I just don't. I'm really sorry. But my emotions are just all over the place because they had a chance to win, and they're good enough to win. They just can't do the little things that it takes to do that consistently.
Well, and you know, I will say, you know, it is one of those things where those calls, you know, the challenge that we have is a team. This team is not good enough. This is not Dee Brown and Darren Williams. This is not Kenny Battle and Nick Anderson and Kendall Gill. They are not good enough to put themselves in a position where you have to depend on a ref to make the right call on one play. Illinois was down by, you know, they were down by 2 points. You know, if that's called a foul, you know, who knows what happens. That might end up being a, you know, the game gets tied. Who knows where it goes. But this team, to me, that call was a bad call. There's just no way around it. But, you know, when you sleepwalk and you get down by 19 at the half, you get down by 24, you know, the first couple minutes of the second half, it's hard to blame the ref for one play when you played 20 minutes in your sleep.
Here's my argument with that. Okay, and I get what you're saying because a lot of people say that. But that you put, okay, as bad as they played, they also, on the flip side, put themselves in position to fight back, to avoid, to neglect what they did in the first 10 minutes of the game when they were sleeping. I get that because a lot of people feel that way, and arguing with you, but I'm just saying.
No, that's fine.
People make that comment. Oh, well, they shouldn't have done this. You know, they should have missed a free throw. Well, hell, what if Purdue would have missed free throws? What if Purdue would have made more shots? At the bottom line is a foul's a foul, travel to travel. Quit swallowing your whistle. And I'm watching all these games, and I'm watching the women's game yesterday. I'm watching all these games, and I'm watching these officials just literally because they're afraid to do the right thing. They don't. I mean, you know how frustrating it is as a player. I'll put it like this. What is wrong with calling the foul? Because if anybody – we all saw the replay. Who could argue that? Or I guess it's those people out there who say, oh, you don't call it at the end of the game. That's crap. It's a foul. And I don't know if it cost them the game. It might have. But I tell you what, it affected the game. Can't say that it didn't do that.
Well, no, I agree with you. And it's a big part of it. But again, you know, the ultimate thing for me is that that play was the one that was key. Then you got – the thing that was frustrating was – then you got, I think right away, was an off-ball foul. And you're like, oh, seriously? Somewhere way away, and you're going to call that, but not, not the bigger, not the foul that was important where a guy had the ball. And, I actually looked at it like he was trying to grab the ball to get it back after being hit, and he couldn't move his right arm because – it was being grabbed by a Purdue.
It was being grabbed. Well, Mike, Here's another one. I saw in the Illinois, I know we're talking Illinois Purdue. During the women's game in the tournament, when they lost to Maryland, I saw one of the girls, I think it was Genesis Bryant, strip the ball. The official was behind. You could not even see it. There's no way you could see it. It could have been a foul, could have been all ball, and he just raised his hand because it was a strip. That stuff to me, you can't play defense. Okay, you think it's a foul. Maybe it is a foul. Maybe it's not a foul. It's hard for the players to know what to do and what not to do because sometimes it is. And because you go down the court, you know how many times I've seen a kid go down the court on a fast break and they swipe it air and never hit them, but because you swipe, it's a foul?
I agree. That gets called all the time, man.
Yes, it's horrible. You know, and so my thing is I don't want to hear people say – they're human. Get better at it. Because, Mike, you talked to us a number of times about being a salesman. If you don't do your job, Mike, they're going to replace you.
Yep.
I know what I do outside of Illini, guys. If I don't do my job, they're going to go to that school and they're going to replace me. Bottom line is get better. Don't let coaches call you. I know Underwood was frustrated. He's really toned it down, which I respect. But that's not why they lost the game. I get it. I'm not saying that. Because they shouldn't have put themselves in that position. But also, you don't want to be the guy to not make the right calls when it really matters. Because at the end of the day, is that fair to Illinois? Illinois, they battle their butts off to get back in that game. And what it does for me, I hope it does this for all the people out there listening, it gives you hope that they're not quitting and that they can play with some of the top teams in the country. Because on a neutral court, if Illinois plays like that, if you don't have any Big Ten officials, I like their chances. I really do, because they're going to bring it in the tournament. I can assure you that.
Well, and look, here's why I talk about the refs again, but this is why when I hear these people go, oh, you know, the fouls even out, that's such a bunch of crap, because it's not true. It's just something you say. But you know, in life, you know, the good breaks don't equal the bad breaks, and fouls don't even out. So here was the stats that if you check my heat checks and Hail Mary columns on IlliniGuys.com. I had a game preview this morning. Purdue has made this season, coming into this game, 452 free throws this season. Opponents have shot only 310 free throws. So Purdue has 142 more made free throws than their opponents have shot free throws. So Purdue has made 224 more free throws, 452 to 228, than its opponents this season, the highest discrepancy in the nation. So don't tell me, you know, that the fouls calls, they all even out over time. They don't. And some teams are allowed, for whatever reason, to do what they want when they want. You know, I saw Brandon Newman throw a couple wicked elbows. Watch him off the ball in the lane when he's defending. He plays like we did in the 80s, Ked.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody goes by him, he sticks an elbow out. I mean, he's good at it. And trust me, I'm not even complaining. I admire that in a player. But again, when you have a free throw discrepancy of 224 made free throws over 31 games, do you think you're going to win a lot of the games?
Yes, you are. And you know what they're going to think? You know what? Those are just talking points. It's easy for people to sit here, and when you make a comment, not just you, but anybody, they go back to the same move, the same comment. Well, they, like you said, they even themselves out. No, they don't. Because I know for 3 years, we watched Kofi just get – he was frustrated, never got those calls. We saw last week, a week and a half ago, excuse me, Hunter Dickinson step on a player. Alan Griffin got suspended for it. Hunter Dickinson didn't. People are debating whether or not Zach Edey shoved Matthew Meyer. I'm really sorry. You can break the fall without extending your arms to shove a guy. I don't – the rules are different, and it depends on – and I think – I'm going to tell you this. I've said it, and I've said it a million times. I know because Ed Hightower told me – I do work for the Quasi Times newspaper, and one of my first articles that I ever wrote for them, it was with Ed Hightower. And Mike, he told me, the officials know, they're sports fans, they read the paper, they know what's at stake. Purdue is winning the Big Ten. They need a Big Ten team to get a number one or two seed. Illinois is going to stay the same. It didn't matter if they won or not. So you reward those teams. People can say, oh, Kedrick, you're crying, you're whining. No, I'm not. It's a fact. Because he told it to me. He said it. And he's been one of the most well-known officials in the United States of college basketball. I'm sorry. So my thing is, I wish they could clean it up. I wish there was a way where coaches didn't affect the outcome of the game. Guys were just in tune in the game to make the right calls. I felt like RJ got a call today, and I felt like, man, this is bad. But I knew also going into the game, Illinois was against the eight ball. But as bad as many losses that they've had, this was one that I really wish that they could have won, because everybody going into this game just assumed it was going to be a loss. But today they showed people. They showed people how good they can be and what the talent level is like. I've been impressed with them, but I'm also disappointed. Like I said, it's been a heck of a roller coaster ride. You know, the only good thing is right now when you look at college basketball today, all these teams are getting beat. My phone's blowing up, and I know there's been upsets. So, you know what? It's been that way the whole Big Ten season. Right now, I don't even care about the Big Ten tournament. I don't. I could care less about that. Because, one, I don't want somebody to get a concussion. That's probably what's going to happen to Matthew Meyer. We're going to get a report tomorrow that because he hit his head on the floor, there's going to be a concussion. Get me to the NCAA tournament. I don't even care about the Big Ten tournament right now. I really don't.
Yeah, the only thing I wouldn't mind seeing is I'd like to see them put two halves together just for their own self-confidence.
It'd be great.
That's it. But yeah, you don't want to play players too much because we've seen that going in as a number one seed. And then, you know, you get caught and, you know, it's better to, you know, it's better to go in and just not worry about, you know, if you play well, you play well. So let's go back. What do they do though about getting the game started? I mean, my goodness, you know, you're down 11-0 in 2.5 minutes. You know, you take that 11-0 stop or start, you take that out of the game, or even they got outscored 18-3 the last 4.5 minutes of the first half. I mean, that's a 7-minute swing where they got outscored 29-3.
Yep. Here's my answer to that.
Yep.
If me as a coach, I'm not saying Illinois, they don't do this because I'm not there every day. And this is not me criticizing the coaching staff. You ask me what I would do. As a coach for me, when I've coached, beginning of the game, end of the half, whatever. There's five plays that I would always have set that I don't show to anybody during the game to get me a layup or get to the free throw line or to get a foul. 9 times out of 10, those plays for me, they were layups. Okay, like here's an example. Here's one example. Brad Underwood knows, and we all know this, Illinois is not a lob team. They don't lob the ball a lot. But you know what I would have done today? I would have done that for Ty Rogers when he got in the game. Or I would have done that for Terrence Shannon, because you know what? That lob play, you throw it up, it's a layup, you may get a foul out of it. It's a turnover. What's the hell the damn difference? Because at the end of the day, they turn it over anyway. But what you're doing is you're running a set play. They came out today running their offense, and they were trying to run their offense and kept turning it over or missing a shot. So I call them stop the bleeding plays, because you don't have to call timeout. You go over those situations enough to know where, hey, we need a backdoor layup. Here's one. Bill Self ran this all the time. I loved it. I stole it from him when he was coaching. He would bring the guys on the baseline, and he would have Darren Williams playing the point. All four guys would run to the free throw line, 3-point line, and then D. Brown would go back door, Luther Head for a layup, or they would slip James Augustine. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I remember seeing them do it all the time. Those were plays that they were bailout plays, because you're going to get a layup out of it, or you're going to get a foul. So to me, if they're not going to press, and Mike, I was hoping you were thinking about me when they were pressing today, because you saw when they pressed hard, they got turnovers off of it. That's the other thing. You saw when they really went after it, they got turnovers out of it.
Yeah, that would be my thing. Is the other thing is, I know this sounds crazy, but, you know, coaching with my father-in-law who won 4 state titles, he always insisted that they run hard enough in the warm-ups that they're sweaty so that they're ready to play, as opposed to just kind of doing layups and shooting around. And he said, you got to have your body ready to play, and your body has to be, you know, the switch has to be, you know, thrown so that you're ready to play some intensity. And he would do a whole different style of warmups that would be, there would be sprints all over in them. And by time the kids were done with warmups, I got to be honest with you, we never had a bad start with him either. You know, I don't know if that was, I don't know if that's, you know, a secret or anything like that, but it is old school, because, you know, he coached people, you know, like Victor Chukwu Debe, you know, and guys like that, you know, back in Springfield. But ultimately, you know, and even Mr. McBride that we all, you know about. But I think they got to do something to get ready for games differently. I don't know what it is, you know. I mean, it'd make me mad if some coach put opera music on in the locker room. That'd make me so mad I'd want to go do something. But, you know, something to get the players fired up. Because this team, when they play like that, they're really, really good. And so that was something I had concern about. And then the turnovers, to be honest, they really controlled their turnovers well, except for a few key plays in the game. And again, that early streak, and then the streak before halftime was heavy in turnovers. And then, you know, in the second half, they had a couple turnovers down the stretch. You know, they just got to take care of the ball a little better.
Mike, they do. They have to take care of the ball. I know a lot of people were frustrated. At the end of the game, I saw a lot of people criticize Coach Underwood for the last play of the game. Purdue defended that play very well. They did. And then Matthew lost the ball out of bounds. I mean, if you think Brad Underwood called a play out of bounds for Matthew Meyer to go between his legs behind his back to shoot a three, you're kidding yourself. He did draw up a play. I think they were trying to get it's an underpick at the top of the key from Matt. But I, again, would give Purdue credit, because I think they knew the play was coming. Once that play was taken away, I don't know if Coach Underwood has another deviation off of it. He might. I couldn't tell you. I don't know if he does or not, but I know that the play was taken away. So then when that happens, the players have to improvise and know what the coach is saying. So if a coach is drawing a play up to get a three out of a timeout or get a two out of it, then that's what the players have to do on their own and try to improvise. And I think Matthew did that. Illinois was lucky enough that the Purdue players fell out of bounds to get the ball back. But there are so many different things. And I know I haven't had a chance to listen to the press conference, but there's so many different things that Coach will probably talk about, you know, this week. about what they need to do to get going, because, you know, in a tournament, you do this and you're done.
Yep, that's the concern. Yeah, that's a concern. And then the other thing I was kind of encouraged by is the last couple of games, they've been cranking down the number of threes they shoot. And I think as they go more to the basket, I do think while they didn't win today, I think going towards the basket more and not having – seemed to me that, you know, when you – like 7 for 22 is not great. It's 31%, almost 32. But there were fewer heat check threes. Meyer never got on track, and he did play – he didn't do nearly that much after he got his head hit on the back of on the floor. So we hope he's not concussed, but you know, it seems to me that when we eliminate the 30 footers, excuse me, when we eliminate the 30 footers, that makes the team a little more effective, because a lot of times those 30 foot threes end up starting fast breaks at the other end.
Yes, you know what? I agree with you. I think they learned that, Mike, from the last game, because if you look back to the Michigan game, they weren't launching as many threes, and I give them credit for that. That's something. But you know what it's done? It did. It kept them in the game. They beat Michigan, but it also kept them in the game against Purdue on the road today. So maybe they figured that out. Maybe they figured out that shooting threes at, you know, when you're 30% three-point shooting team, that's not a recipe for success. Me personally, I have no problem with Matthew Meyer shooting threes. I just don't, because he's the best three-point shooter we have. He's tough enough to take them. I'll tell you what, they kind of reverted back to a little bit today, and I was hoping you would ask this. They reverted back to a lot of pump faking and then ball faking, and they turned the ball over a few times because I think they knew that's what they were going to do and they weren't going to shoot it.
Yeah, no, I think there's some of that going on. You know, as we look forward now, played a good game against, you know, Purdue. And again, I guess the only thing I'll say is, you know, you go through, you know, that stat that I just did on amount of free throws that Purdue, you know, gets to shoot compared to their opponents. And I guess I've tended to think, you know, hey, Matt Painter is just a really relaxed, cool guy. But now I'm starting to think that if Illinois had made 452 free throws coming into this game, while the opponents have only shot 310 free throws, and Illinois had 224 more made free throws than its opponents, Brad Underwood would probably be a lot more calm, cool, and collected as well. So, you know, again, as they go in, I think this is part of the reason why the Big Ten struggles in the NCAA tournament. You know, you have certain teams that are blessed with, you know, this type of foul discrepancy, and you get into the NCAAs and the refs don't have to, you know, call however the Big Ten supervisor says. So it gets kind of tough. I think Illinois, and I think Michigan, and I think Indiana are pretty well built for a normally reffed game like you see in the ACC, SEC, Big 12. Now, we'll see. If Illinois can't hit the broadside of a barn, it won't matter. But I do think those three teams are really set potentially to have a good tournament. And I think Purdue is, not because of the foul thing, but Edie's just a unique individual. And if he goes in the game and they make a concerted attempt to get the ball to him, where I'm going to argue that he doesn't foul very much is on the defensive end. I don't think he does foul a lot. I think he blocks a lot of shots by extending his arm and flipping his wrist. So he doesn't come down on people very often on blocked shots. So that keeps him in the game longer. Where I think he fouls a lot is with those elbows when he swings, when he pivots and changes direction. He leads with his elbows every time. And the problem is if you can concuss a 7-foot-tall, 295-pound Kofi Coburn, nobody in their right mind is going to stand in front of those elbows to take one to try to get him in foul trouble, because you may not, you may wake up and not know who you are. But I think those, four teams are set up to play decently. And then I think Iowa, if they're hot, they can play with almost anybody, because they get just stupid accurate from the three. Any of your thoughts on the upcoming week here?
Well, I'll tell you this. I have no complaints about Zach Edey fouling. I thought he played a clean game defensively.
Yeah.
You know, so people are thinking I'm complaining that he got away with murder, other than the push in the back to Matthew Meyer. So no problem with that. But what I will say, and I'm glad to hear you say that, is you can really see that those teams that you mentioned, they are going to be built for March. I really do think so, because it's really obvious to me that those teams, they look like those teams that can get up and down the floor. Illinois was trying to put the pressure on Purdue today. I was, again, looking at it. I guess if it were me, I'm just – I think Indiana and Illinois, if they got the right seeds, have the best teams built to advance. That's me. I don't think Purdue does. I think the guard play is going to catch up with them at some point. And the one thing is, I had no problem with what Zach Edey did today. I thought defensively, I don't think he pushed, shoved anything like that. Mike, I thought he played a clean game. The thing I want to comment on is the teams you mentioned built for March. I really do think, you know, after what I saw today, I was really encouraged to see them. I thought today was the most aggressive I've seen them. I mean, I don't know the last game. They really tried to defend and take Purdue out of everything. That's why I have to agree with them. I think nothing against Michigan. I don't think Michigan plays defense the way Illinois does. I think the two teams that, if they get the right seed, Mike, that can advance the furthest in the tournament, probably will be Indiana and Illinois. I think Michigan State, you know, like I just said, I don't think they have enough firepower. My concern with Iowa is going to be their depth. But I think those three teams, Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa.
So thanks for that analysis there, Ked, in terms of what's going on with the teams next weekend. We're waiting for Brad to get here. And what we will do is we will go into a commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, member FDIC.
So Brad Sturdy has joined us as he has gotten out of Mackey Arena, and he has gotten holy water so that he can go to the rest of the planet now. Brad, what are your thoughts coming out of what's arguably one of the loudest arenas in the country?
Yeah, I think it's the toughest place in the Big Ten when they're rocking. I mean, when they are good, that is a really difficult place to play. They, you know, have a great fan base. Obviously, they do some really cool things. I thought it was really loud. I thought, you know, in the second half, Illinois took the crowd out of it with their play and were able to make it, you know, get the game going the way they wanted to. And, you know, now they got to figure out a way to do that for 40 minutes, because you can't play 20 minutes and expect to win very often.
Did Coach Underwood have anything to say about that, or did any of the players have anything to say about that?
Yeah, they all talked about it. I mean, he talked about execution. They have a play they're supposed to run on the first possession, and they still haven't run it. So we're in the post-game press conference, he said, and we still haven't run it. So I think that's frustrating for him. We talked later about execution out of stretch. They came out of timeout, literally went the wrong way, out of a timeout. And so they run the play wrong, and they get messed up, and that's the last play when they're trying to get into there, you know, the 2-for-1 and trying to get that going. And so, yeah, it's frustrating. And so he said, talked about that, and then the other thing he mentioned was, you know, it wasn't that they didn't play hard the first Jimmy Toppin. You saw Illinois without a point guard, and I was shocked that they tried to make Terrence Shannon their point guard.
That was tough.
Now, I will say this. Purdue started Brandon Newman. I think they started him because it's senior day or something, or maybe what, you know, they've been, or maybe whatever, but they started Morton stuff this year instead of him. Well, if they start Morton, then it makes sense. But when they started Newman, they knew they were going to pressure Folkart. It's just one-on-one. He picked Shannon the first possession. He picked him later. And that's obviously not, that's not Terrence's fault because he's not a point guard. So it's on them for not having any point guards. And, you know, I realize that you're trying to, you know, and I guess, you know, you have a, you don't have Sky Clark, you don't have Jake Knapp, and now you're really struggling to find somebody to handle the ball and bring the ball to the floor. That was evident in the first half. And got to the point in the second half, they have to move Coleman Hawkins to point guard and have him bring the ball to the floor.
And Coleman Hawkins, you know, 6 points, had six assists, four rebounds, only one turnover while playing point guard. I thought, despite, you know, maybe he didn't have as many points as what you'd hope, I thought he actually had a heck of a game for the Illini.
Played a great game, Ben. You can look at it. He was, when he was on the floor, and Underwood did admit post-game, that, and I thought he should have left him in the first half, because that's when Purdue went on that 10-0 run to get the, you know, open that game up. You know, Illinois down 11-0 to start. And then the 10-0 Purdue run later, and now you're looking at a game that was 21 points at halftime. And those two runs, one of the first run was more on the players just not being ready, not actually. Second run is because they got a bunch of subs in there, and that they made that against, you know, that was against Coleman, you know, when he was on the bench. And so I don't blame Coleman. Obviously, I just think he gets two fouls. That two foul auto set. Sometimes if you're going to build a, you know, and you look at it and you say, well, maybe we shouldn't have done that. But then if he gets his third foul, it's, you know, whatever. But I thought they were better off. They would have been better off going ahead and, you know, playing him, bring him back in there and limit that run maybe from 2 to, you know, maybe it's, instead of 10, it's 6 to 10 to 4, you know, 6 to 2 or something like that, where it keeps you in the game. And you're only down maybe 15 at halftime. And then it's much easier. That comeback becomes a little bit easier. So I don't know. That's kind of what I thought. And Underwood mentioned that he probably should have done that. So, you know, but Coleman's fouling, guarding Edie. And so you never know when you're going to get. He got a couple of tic-tac fouls during that game. And, you know, he gets, say what you want, Zach Edie gets some pretty good foul calls that we never saw Kofi get in his time in Illinois. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
That two-hand push that he did on Meyer, they would have been over at the film, you know, watching that, and Kofi probably would have been escorted out in handcuffs. And, you know, it's frustrating.
Like, well, you know, the thing about that was Joe Clark had a great photo of that, the two-hand shove. And I've seen worse things that have been called flagrant fouls, or less, not things not as bad be called flagrant fouls. I'm not saying he should or shouldn't, but it definitely was, didn't. But he didn't make play on the ball with that. And so you kind of wonder, like, why you didn't at least look at it, though. You know what I mean? The officials refused to look at it. So,
yeah.
I don't get that. To me, that's odd.
Especially, so, yeah, when you get a player going down and the chance of a head injury on a hardwood floor just seems kind of rough. If you want to see the shots of that, because Joe Clark took two amazing pictures, you can go to my at Mike Kegley, at MikeCagley Twitter feed. And I put those up as soon as we got them because Joe was right there and it was perfect. It kind of showed you the beginning and then it showed you the two-hand extension. And there was no basketball that could be seen. That was just a two-hand shove down. I don't know what Edie was thinking, but, the job is not to say, did he mean to foul? The job is to say, yes, that was a foul. Brad, another thing that was, I don't know if it got talked about, but it seemed like the last two games, the Illini have been more intentional with their threes. They're not shooting quite as many, and they're not shooting as many heat checks out there. Is that something that finally, after a season, Coach Underwood's got that, you know, kind of under control a bit?
Yeah, I think outside of Matthew Meyer, who maybe they have to rein in now too, because he was able to get to the rim, but he shot 1 of 10 from three. And yet he was still pulling some crazy threes. You know, you had opportunities to maybe get to the basket. So, guys, you know, I don't know. Meyer makes a lot of those tough threes. And I think they want certain guys to shoot him. They want Luke Goody to shoot anytime he can get a shot off. They want Matthew Meyer to shoot if he can get a shot off. Other guys, I think there's more of a, it's more of a pick your spots kind of thing. You know, whether it's Shannon or, you know, Sincere Harris, for example. I don't think Ty Rogers has the green light ever. I think they have to be able to just dribble. And these guys really struggle to dribble against pressure or in traffic. Now, some of them, I'll give you, I think Ken was talking earlier about Terrence Shannon getting fouled. So maybe part of the reason they can't dribble is because they get grabbed on the arm. But overall, you know, they have to do a better job of being able to dribble. They don't have a guy who can get into traffic, get in the paint, play off the feet, find a kick out. You saw multiple times Purdue did that in the first half. Their guards would get in the paint, jump stop, pivot, and be able to, you know, rotate and kick out. And Illinois doesn't have anyone doing that consistently. And that's where they lack that, you know, creator for other people. Hawkins is probably the only guy who does it, and he doesn't a lot of times play off 2 feet. So you like to see him do a little more.
Any other things that we didn't ask you about that came up, you know, either, you know, you there watching the game or came up in the press conference afterwards?
Well, I think it was interesting, kind of strange if you see Danger can't play when they play these big hulking centers. And play when they have a guy like, you know, he's great against Nebraska and Iowa and some of those teams. So it creates, he's not getting anything done, you know, on the offense, man. He actually did a better job when he was out. He was able to score on a basket there and get some post-ups. But, I thought the other thing was Illinois did a pretty really good job on Zach Beattie. May have been the best job anybody's done on him this year, to be honest. They really made it difficult for him to score, get the ball. And a lot of that was Colin Hawkins. A lot of that was game plan. I thought was really good for how they defended him. Now the question becomes, can you translate that to in the next level? You got to be able to execute on defense and offense. And clearly they're not executing very well on offense consistently, but you got to execute on defense. They did the second half. They did it in the first half. You got to get 40 minutes of defense. But if they can do that, it's a dangerous team. Underwood said it afterwards. He said, I think we're playing our best basketball. That we just took number 5 on the road down. We're tied with, you know, a minute to go and had our chances. And so, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, if we play that well, I wouldn't want to play us, is what he said. So, you know, now they're going to do it for 40 minutes. And if they do that, I think they're a team that can do some things in March.
Yeah, they're an 8 or 9 seed. They will have to go up. You know, they have to beat another team that probably is similar to them. And then they have to turn around and play, you know, a number 1 seed, which, you know, you're looking, they probably won't have to play Purdue, but they might have to play, you know, UCLA, Houston, Alabama, you know, none of those games are anything that people would call a gimme. So,
and I will say this, I don't feel like there's anybody on that one line this year that really is like scary, if that makes sense. I mean, I'm not saying they're not good. I'm not saying you're going to lose. There's nobody who I think you're going to lose to or beat. Like you're losing 9 times out of 10 on that line. I mean, as good as they are, I mean, you know, Illinois already played scrimmage Kansas. They've felt pretty good about how they played against them. They've already, you know, they know they can beat UCLA because they already have. So they know they can play with Purdue if they're at one that level. So, you know, Houston, they played them last year. So they kind of look at them. They kind of change their team a little bit to fit more a style play against Houston. So, in Alabama, you know, Alabama's probably a team that's a weird matchup, but they've had some, you know, kind of games where they've been up and down too, you know. Teams that are athletic and long, like Tennessee, for example, have really given them fit. So, you know, I think this team is, you know, you look at the matchups, we'll see what happens, but, you know, you just got to go out and you just are playing better. I mean, it's just that simple. They have to execute. You're going to have a close game in the end, big they're not coming up. You can't go out there and go the wrong way. You can't not run your play on the first possession. I mean, you have a possession, you have a play called, go run it. Get it done. And if you don't do that, you're probably going to lose.
Yep. No, I'm with you. And it makes for, just makes for an interesting matchup. One final question for you, Brad. What do you look for this team out of the Big Ten tournament? Are they focused to say, hey, we're going to win the Big Ten tournament? Are they just want to put together a game or two, you know, a couple good games and let the chips fall? How does Coach Underwood approach this tournament this year?
Well, I think they're playing to win. I think they want to win that tournament, even if it's 4 games in 4 days. The weird part about them is that they I don't know. I mean, it's not like last year where you knew they were, you know, they were a locked top 4 or 5 seed. You know, you knew where they're going to be, you know, in a good place. They're supposed to have a protected site. They ended up in Pittsburgh, but whatever. But you know, so I think they were in a pretty good, they're in a pretty good place. This team, I think, is hungrier in the sense that I feel like they have something to prove. Last year's team won the Big Ten. I think they settled there. That year before they win the Big Ten tournament, I think they felt like they'd proven something. This team hasn't proved anything yet. So whether it's the NCAA tournament, Big Ten tournament, they have things to prove and they have things to get done. And I think this team really needs to come out and put on a good performance in the Big Ten tournament. If that means winning a first round game and then, you know, even if you play Purdue in that second round, again, competing with them if they're in the 8-9, if they're in the 7-10, maybe it's exercising the Penn State demons and then going up against a 2-seed who, to be honest, is probably a team that they feel pretty good playing. So I think that, yeah, that this is they have an opportunity. I don't think there's anybody. Purdue's the best team in the Big Ten, so you obviously don't want to play them. And Penn State's the team they match up the worst with. So maybe those are the two teams you want to avoid, and they may end up playing both of them. But at the same time, you know, this is where they're at. But a lot they've been dealt. Now they got to go out and prove something. And I think they have the mentality that they need to prove something. And I think that these guys haven't done it yet. You know, Meyer has it, Baylor a little bit, and Shannon has it, Tech. But overall, they really haven't done it yet, most of these guys. Now they have something to do.
You know, the frustrating thing is, Brad, I've never been around a team that has the toughness to come back repeatedly from 20 points, but doesn't have the toughness to wake up for the beginning of the game.
Well, it was before noon, Mike. Yeah. You know, Central, so it's tough, you know, it's hard to get up before noon in college. So.
Yeah, I guess, because I do think it's, like I said, it's amazing. It's, you think about how many teams in the history of Mackey Arena have come from behind 24 points. It's probably a list of, in their 100 years, maybe 5.
24 down to tie it, and then Meyer, of course, Meyer had to go shoot free throws after he got destroyed. So, you know, that he missed the first one and made the second one. That was kind of a rough situation to be in, right?
Yep.
But yeah, overall, they did some good things. But right now you're trying to be positive and put them, hey, we're good. You know, guys, we played that second half like we need to, you know, and I'm sure there was some paint that came off the wall at the halftime, but you know, this is where they're at. And now they, Brad Underwood knows he's got to just, you know, we're going to be a little more positive with these guys and stay up and keep battling. And I think if they can do that, I mean, this is a team that they have some pieces. And, you know, the one piece they don't have is a point guard. So if they had that, you know, I'd feel really good. I think getting Jaden Epps back will help a lot there just to have another depth piece. I mean, goodness gracious, even if he can't play, but, you know, 10, 15 minutes a game, it's really nice to have a guy who can score and create some things off the bat.
And did Meyer, did he get hit in the head hard enough to be concussed or not?
No, he kept playing. He's fine. He seemed fine. I don't know. You never know.
Get him a monster drink. Just get him a monster drink. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's going to have 5 monsters tonight. It's all good.
Yeah.
I drank tonight this morning, so I'm good. But no, I think he's okay. You know, I was more concerned about his tailbone after that fall in the second half. Because the one was in the first half, or was in the second half too, and he hit his head, went down hard and hit his head. And then in the second half, you know, Edie kind of, you know, pushed him down. So I thought he really moaned and groaned on that second one with his back. Seemed like he went down really hard on his back. So, yeah, you know, I hope he's okay because, you know, the Illinois definitely needs him.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Any final thoughts before we let you go?
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you from a positive standpoint, getting Luke Goody back, like, today was one of the first games I felt like Luke looked good laterally, like moving defensively and even coming off and shooting the ball on the move. And I think that if he can start getting more aggressive shooting the ball, it can open some things up. So I think that's part of it. I think Matt Painter's probably the best coach in the Big Ten from an X's and O's standpoint. I think he does a fantastic job. So, you know, when you can go in and have a chance to win against the top five team in the country on the road, and it just comes down to execution. But it shows that Illinois can compete with anybody. Home road and every game from now on is neutral. So they compete with anybody. Now they just got to go out and do it and you know, play with something, play with the idea they have something to prove.
Good, good. Well, we appreciate you giving us a jingle on your way back and coming in to talk with us. And, of course, Brad's his takeaways are always the morning after the game, so you can see what he has to say being there and talking to players and coaches. That's on IlliniGuys.com. And be aware and check your feed because there will be a Big Ten tournament preview podcast that we will be doing as well. So make sure you tune in for that. We want to make sure that you're ready for whatever is going to happen in the next few days. And we'll obviously be podcasting as we get results. And, of course, we will have Brad up at the Big Ten tournament covering it like a blanket. So don't fear. The Illini guys will be there, just like Matt Stevens was just about the only Illini media up in Minneapolis covering the women's Big Ten tournament last week. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We're going to head into a commercial break.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Well, that's kind of the story here. Thank you so much to Brad Sturdy for being able to come on and talk about the game. He was down in West Lafayette, as we said. Kedrick Prince, thank you as well. And, of course, this is Illini guy Mike Kegley. We ask you to tune in. We will be back to do a Big Ten tourney preview. And, of course, we will have everything going on with the Big Ten tourney. And if you want to go to IlliniGuys.com, you can get multiple stories. Get ready for the action. The season is coming close to a close. The Big Ten tourney is not a huge event for in terms of seeding for the NCAA, or at least they make you think that way. But the Illini have to be prepared for the big tournament starting in 2 weeks. That's where they are really trying to target a run to get to the first Sweet 16 since 2004-05. And, of course, the Illini guys and the Eye on the Illini will be there to cover it, as well as the Illini guys Sports Spectacular. Thank you so much for tuning in, and go Illini!
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.